Welcome to Starfleet Universe On-Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SAP Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder, how to join us, we have a telecast every Thursday night, starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 724-444-7444. Just follow the directions, and the call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talks website at www.talkshoe.com. Search for call ID 17702. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall at gmail.com. Also, if you need to reach me via Skype, my Skype ID is FranzGames, FranzGemes. And of course, you can follow me on the Twitters. My account there is Paul Franz. So to find me on Twitter, just go to twitter.com/PaulFranz. That's PaulFranz. And of course, my secondary account called FranzGames, where I announce this podcast and various news and client updates. And of course, this lovely TalkCast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from A to B this week. Steady work on current projects, including hailing frequencies for March and communique number 147, which were released on March 10th. Also new to Warriors 23 Drive-Thru RPG and Wargame Vault this week was Nexus number 1. Yes, the first Nexus magazine, they've got an ebook form. And of course, Steve Cole was busy working on the newsletters, catalog number 53, the art for Zinni Master Starship book, various Shapeways things, and other projects. Steve Patrick was busy working on SAP updates, quality control and assembly, and shipping product out the door, which is always a good thing because people like to have their product when they buy it, you know. But anyway, also the Zinni and Gorn Master Starship books, he was also working on those. Jean, of course, was working on her parts of Hailing Frequencies. Big surprise. And also uploading those ships to Shapeways and proofreading Communicate number 47 and Hailing Frequencies and taking care of customers as she always does. And moving forward to the SAP Online tournaments, we have the Masters tournament being run by Andrew Koch. He currently has signups of 22 people. They're already signed. The signups are open. So if you are interested, go to the SAP Online website, go to the tournaments page. Boy, I'm having problems speaking tonight. This is going to be interesting. And sign up there. Obviously, it requires that you actually have an account on SAP Online, so please purchase a subscription because it's kind of hard to play when you don't have a subscription. Moving on to Rat 47, there has been no reports on the finals. There have been two turns that have been completed, but Paul Graves had not said anything about, at least to me personally, on whether he got any turns in. I know he wanted to get the turns in. And so that's what I was hoping to happen this weekend. Okay, let's move on to the Platinum Hat tournament. No progress, partly, I'm not going to say it's completely due to me. I'm obviously one of the issues currently. But I had a little issue on Tuesday. My day got totally for toots when my daughter went into the hospital. But she's doing good. She had gallbladder surgery. And she's okay, you know, still hurting, but she's fine. So, you know, obviously I still ask for prayers for her, just to, you know, for the healing and all. Moving forward to the Starfleet Battle Force Unity-based game, I haven't got any progress done on that, and I apologize for that. It's, of course, various things, including my wife taking over my office. But the library actually has progress. Yay! Now we got a total complete of 2,411, yet to be converted, 918. Which is cool. Let's see if we can get that down below 900. I will see if I can do a little work this weekend, which would be great. And that means the percent complete is all the way up to 72.42%. So we have great progress. You know, it's good to see some more progress. Obviously, as I mentioned, and I'll mention again, I want to get this it at least 90% complete, or at least all of the Omega, all the Alphas done that we can do. Hopefully some of the Omegas. I know that part of that is probably going to rely on Steve Cole getting done. So we'll just have to wait and see. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one, the only, the Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we have, well, of course, me. But we also have the chat room, which we actually have two people, and we have an additional visitor for the first time. And I welcome Errol C, I think, way you pronounce it, but okay. Just, hello. Tonight, what we're going to do is actually we're going to start off with some talk about Shapeways ships and some of the miniatures. And the reason why I want to talk about them is because I happen to be on the discussion board. And if you don't go to this discussion board on StarfleetGames.com, you're missing out. Because at the very least, if you don't want to look at anything else, the miniatures, because they post up some of the pictures of the models. Now, remember, these are renderings. So it gives you an idea of what the miniatures are going to look like. So, but at the very least, those give you really exciting part. Also, there's a lot of good discussions there. I understand that ever since Facebook and that community, we've been added to Facebook. We've been added to Facebook. ADB has actually added a page on Facebook and so forth. There's quite a bit of discussion going on there, which is always good to see. But the diehards, the people who have been there for the longest period of time, possibly even as far back as Genie, you know, because for those people who know, been with Starfleet Battles since, I mean, from the early years, when to those people who don't know what Genie is, this is back pre-internet days. It's like, well, there's nothing before the internet. Well, yes, there was. We had what's called bulletin board systems. And actually, Genie was like CompuServe, and that it really wasn't that it's not as a bulletin board system like the first ones when back in the, let me think, back in like the early 80s is what I'm thinking of, when there actually were BBS systems where you had this little menuing system that would come up, and you have a couple places where you could possibly talk about things, and then also, of course, there's the downloads, which is where everyone went. They wanted to get the downloads. Yes, I want to grab the latest software for my computer, you know, which... They had dial-up modems, you know, concept. Really funky concept in that how slow those things were compared to today. It's like we're talking about megabytes, even, well, not quite terabytes, but gigabytes. We're talking about gigabytes or gigabits. Actually, gigabits. It's gigabits, sorry. When it comes to speed of networks, it's gigabits or megabits, not bytes. There's a difference. Back in those days, you had dial-up modems. Well, Genie was one of those services that where, I mean, everybody who wanted to really talk about Starfleet Battles was going to be on, you know, Starfleet Battles had a good presence on Genie. There was also a minor presence on CompuServe. I remember that one because that was my community, was CompuServe. Because actually that's where we started play by email tournaments. This was before the advent of SFB Online and the internet. Whew. So, but that, you know, that was back in those days. Now we still have the BBS, but it's, obviously it's not as well interacted with as much as Facebook is. But there's still a lot of discussion there, and you want to see the models, that's the first place to go. That's where ADB likes to post them first, which is in the discussion board. There is actually a FedCom forum, which is a little more up to date. You know, PHB based BBS, you know, so it's a little more modern. Because actually, I forget if the people who created this to discuss bulletin board actually exist anymore. I forget. But anyway, it doesn't matter at this point. Let's just move forward because I'm reminiscing back in the past. Now, one of the things actually I caught a glance off, and this is why I wanted to talk about the Shapeway ships, which is the Hydran. Yeah, guess Dave. I remember Windows 98 and the Plug and Pray. Well, they tried, you know, Plug and Play. The idea was to make computers easy. And Lord knows, when it comes to computers, I think the first person who really saw what computers really should be is Steve Jobs. That is computers as tools, computers as just a thing that you used, that you didn't have to worry about, okay, starting it up, shutting it down, doing all these computer-y things with it. That was the whole idea of the Macs. And Lord knows, a lot of times that's what we got with our phones now. Phones and tablets. It's, you know, you start it up, use it, shut it down. You know, it's just there. It's at the device, you know. So anyway, well, there goes air wrestling. Sorry if I get sidetracked. This is what happens when you have the chat interacting with me. As I see that, it's like, oh, I got to go that way. But anyway, okay. When it comes to the miniatures, the one thing I saw, and that just because I saw it, I had to talk about it, which is that Steve Call posted Hydran Destroyers. And I look at these things and go, these look cool. Now, I know that there are some people that don't like this concept, and that is what's called Aztec-ing. The Hydran Destroyers have what looks like to be Aztec-ing. You know, the whole idea of these raised panels on the ship. And for the Hydran Destroyers, I think it really goes well. You know, they have the DDE here, I think it's a Uhura, the UH, guys. I'll see. One thing is, the Hydran DDA, the Uhura, I think, and the SR, which is of course the survey cruiser. Yulon, that's it. Sorry. Okay, that's what UH is. Okay, let me just look at one thing, because they were mentioning the launch tubes on it, which is important because there actually are launch tubes on Hydra ships, because they have fighters, and that's a big surprise. So that was cool. I like the DDL, the Warrior, which these are not quite square. They're more of I was going to say trapezoid, but it's not a trapezoid. Actually, it's almost like a pentagon, but you take the one side of the pentagon and you just stretch it out really far. And that's what you got the Hydran Destroyer. And it looks cool. You got, with the DDL, you've got the cannons on top, and then you have in the right, very front. I'm not sure if those are launch tubes. I'm not sure if MG knows. But the DDL. Yeah. I agree. Patrick Gilmore was mentioning that, yeah, they thought the DDL looked sick, and one thought any chance to raise Aztec bricks could be lessened, reduced around the midsection so there are flat areas to paint decal. Oh, okay. Okay. So that's what he's hoping. But anyway, so yeah, the DDL actually is the one that I liked the best. I think it's the most slick. Because the front actually kind of looks like they are, it's not, I don't say launch tubes, but more of, what's with, or on modern carriers today, you know, today's carriers, like launching racks is what it kind of looks like. Or I can easily see what looks like these elongated square platforms kind of opening up, and then the ship, then the fighters coming out of that. I can see them actually being the... Launch tubes, either the skis for methane snow. That'd be interesting. But yeah, look at this for a moment. Okay, yeah. Okay, I see it. I'm looking at the hydrogen DDs, and looks like, let me see, they don't have, let me just look at this. Yeah, they're on the bottom. Looks like is where they are. And what they are is the launch tubes are actually little circular things. So I'm not exactly sure what those things are on the front of the DDL. I have to take a look, see at the actual SSD to get an idea. Another thing that was posted was something that's, in my mind, kind of bland. The only reason I say that is just because of how much change can you really do. And that is, there's the Romulan KRC or KRL, which, of course, is going to be what? It's going to be based off the Klingon. Duh. Because that's what it's supposed to look like. It's supposed to look like the Klingon with minor tweaks. So the only thing that's obviously going to have to be tweaking are the bumps on the cells, so that they're maybe a little larger, so that they're supposed to be launch tubes, not disruptors. So they're going to look a little different. The one thing that I have a question about is that they show kind of a decal on the bottom of the ship. I'm not sure if that's actually going to show up in the actual if the decal is going to show up on the miniature itself, or that's something that's kind of just right now. You know, this looks nice, that if you want to, you can get a decal and add it to the ship, or is it going to be engraved on the ship itself? Because I think there was some talk about engraving some of those decals on the bottoms of the ships. And I'm not sure if they plan on doing that for the Andromeda on the top of the ship, you know, the Andromeda symbol, or not. Sorry for the interruption. Had to let my cat out. Because the kitty went out, and I figured you were going to hear him crying a lot. But moving forward, or backward, depends upon how you look at it. They're also showing the Romulan Shrike, and Condor, which to me, I look at them and go, you know, there's not really anything special. Now, obviously, the thing is, some of these, what they look like, is very, very bland. But my guess is that they'll increase it a little bit, maybe round it some, or add some detail, because right now they look like they're just flat surfaces. Okay. MG in the chat room is just mentioning that he's hadn't had any success etching the eagles on the war eagles and such. So it'd be good if Will, who's another one of the sculptors for the minis, could make it work. Which it'd be great if we can get that to work, or because I think the etching looks great. If it works, now, obviously the biggest problem with etching on miniatures at all is that, of course, depends upon the quality of the material that you're using, which means, okay, the only time the etching is really going to work out is probably going to be on the higher quality, the more expensive material. I'm not sure if the, because the lower cost, it's probably going to look pretty bad. Now, the question is, even if the etching might look bad for the less resolution, do you still, would you still want the etching on it so that you can then go in and maybe trace it yourself using using a brush or something like that? Probably not. I would think that what you would probably want is to be a nice smooth surface and then go with like a decal. Because, and I'm hoping, because I know there was this one guy who used to sell decals. And I'm not sure if that is still available. I'm not sure, MG, if you know if that guy's still available. I forget his name. I forget if Steve Cole has been publicizing him when it comes to that. Ah. Tennishing Tom had decals. Has decals. Okay. Oh, Mel Crayley also does them out of Canada. The other guy was shut down. Oh. Tennishington was shut down? Yeah, she has an eBay store. Okay. Yeah, because I know usually eBay's really good about when it comes to decal work, you know, because he wants... Oh, okay. So it was Mel that got shut down. I don't know why. Okay. Do you know why? Because I'd be interested, just out of curiosity. If you don't know, that's fine too. But, you know, I doubt it was ADB who shut him down. Just because I know ADB likes to encourage third parties to make products that are complementary to ADB's products. Oh, well, Dave says no, Mel's still there. Okay. I'm totally confused now. Okay, I'll continue on then. Also was noticed that he also posted Gorn on frigates and battle frigates. Okay. Now, this is a tough one. And this is why I say that. That is, I'm looking at this and it's kind of a cool idea. I'm not sure it works, which is that they've got... Looks like they have two different kinds of, you know, frigate and battle frigate. I'm just looking at to see if it is the same. Yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure that I wasn't looking at like, oh, one is the top, one is the bottom. Because it looks like they're both up where there's just two different versions. That's what it looks like at the moment. And in which case, looks like they have these little triangles, these like diamonds on the top of the Gorn ship. Makes it kind of look like it has scales, which I think is a kind of a cool idea, a cool effect, but I'm not quite sure if I like it or not. I think I might like the smoother ones better. Obviously, when it comes to miniatures, it's going to turn out a heck of a lot better just because of you don't have to worry about the detail for those little things. And again, we're going to come back to the whole problem with Aztec-ing and etching, which is to get that really to look nice, you have to use the higher quality materials to actually have that done. So while I'm here, I'm just going to do a quick look-see. And, oh, okay. There was another one which I missed. Looks like, ooh, man, looks huge. But it's just because the way it is shown, which is the Romulan Omnihawk Plus. Got to slow down my speaking. And it looks interesting. It's kind of cool. It's kind of taking, I think the Demon Hawk. Yeah, I think Demon Hawk is kind of like, looks like the basis of it. And they took the wings and they expanded it out. And it has like four engines. Two of them underneath the wing. Sorry, five engines. Two of them underneath the wing. One in the up above it in the center. And then we have on the ends of the tips of the wings themselves. So what we considered the waist, there's two of them under in the belly on the waist. It's the waist of the wings. There's a best way to describe it when it comes to it's because I'm trying to measure it as akin to the Klingon, because how considered you have the waist phasers and you have the wing phasers and things like that. The base hull, MG is mentioning that the base hull is a Firehawk. Then they added modules and engines. Okay, thanks, MG. let me look at this for a moment, because they have an older version with version 2 of Megahawk Plus is what they were showing previously on the same thread, which should be interesting. I'm just gonna do a quick look. See, I just want to make sure I didn't miss anything that also happened this week, and I think that was it. Yeah. Okay. Except for assorted glamour shots. Oh, that'd be kind of cool. Steve Cole posted one thing on the 9th this past. Oh, yeah. Yeah, actually, MG, I was just looking at that. MG has mentioned that if you hit the glamour shot folder, then there's a sneak peek of my space amoeba. Yeah, I see it. So, this is space amoeba, and it has, looks like a broken, Federation cruiser in it. Looks like it's partially absorbed into it, which I think is a really cool effect. One of the posters said, I want this model in chocolate. That actually could... I agree there, actually. Because that'd probably look pretty good in chocolate. And Nick... Yeah, both Mark and Nick. Oh, this was Nick Mike. The new Federation Embassy on Romulus. Remus. Like, no. Interesting. Yeah, Doomsday Machine. I don't know what the Doomsday Machine was. Our dear sweet new friend was mentioning that. Let's see if I can look at that for a moment, see if it's possible to look at. Okay, page 3. I forgot they had the frac subs in Shapeways, which is always a cool thing. And I always love it when they actually can find someone to take a picture of a painted cruiser, painted miniature. Gives you a better idea of what it actually looks like instead of the renderings. Now, that's another one, which is actually interesting. which is the Frax heavy cruiser. If you look at it, the Frax heavy cruiser, you almost could use that if you really wanted to for a naval combat. You know, use it like it's a stealth cruiser. Right. Okay. I'm assuming he's talking about the Planet Crusher. Because it said, that, you know, Doomsday Machine, which I think it's talking about the Planet Crusher. Yeah. Well, oh, yeah. From Star Trek. Yeah, it was Doomsday Machine, wasn't it? Yes, it was. Sorry, I haven't watched the original series for a while. So I had to be a member of that episode. Anyhow, so really great miniatures look like they're being lined up. I'm hoping that those that I just saw are for this month. MG, I assume that the glamour shot is for Amoeba that will hopefully be available at the beginning of next month. Of course, it's right now it's the 15th, so it's still got 2 weeks on that. I'm not sure what is the turnaround time on designs. You know, when you got that far, you know, if it still requires tweaking, you know, because I know. Okay. MJ has mentioned that, yeah, it should be available in 3 different sizes, which is 2 inches, 4 inches, and 6 inches. Whoa. When you get up to the 6 inches, when it comes to those miniatures, those start getting expensive. Of course, depends upon the material, because I know there is, I forget which one, there's one that has a material that used the most high quality material, costs $200. And it's like, yikes. I don't think many people are going to be, are willing to spend $200 on a miniature. But there are those people who have more money than, I say more money than brains, but I don't. They just enjoy miniatures a lot more than I do and have the money to spend on them. Yeah, Ariel C, the one thing you should know about Starfleet Battles is that they can't do the next generation ships on the DS9 stuff because otherwise they will be sued out of existence by Paramount. They are not licensed to do the next generation of DS9 stuff. And to switch that license, it's not worth the money that ADB would actually need to put in. Because I've heard what the licensing agreement is, and it's just awful, totally unreasonable. They have to put up all this money up front, and after a year, if Paramount doesn't like what you've been doing with their IP, they'll go, okay, and pull you. So in the case of ADB, they basically would shut down ADB like that, you know. So, you know, if they're not, and my guess is they're not selling in hundreds of thousands at the very least, they're not making that much in profit. You know, they're gonna say, well, forget you, and we'll find someone else who can do better with our IP. Because I'm pretty sure that's what happened with. Starfleet Command. That's the game where they actually got a Paramount license, so they got some more Paramount IP. But the problem with that license deal was that they didn't like the return on the investment and just pulled the license, and therefore Starfleet Command it was no longer exists. You know, so that kind of stuff sucks. Moving forward, actually, we're going to switch off to the Starfleet Battle Force game. I didn't get as much done as I wanted to get done because of different things that came up, including my daughter going to the hospital, which I mentioned actually in the news portion. She had had gallbladder surgery, had had a gallbladder removed, and she's still recovering. So, but even my day job, of course, this really sucks for my day job, because my day job, I'd already taken off Friday. She really had a stomach ache on Monday. You know, she couldn't sleep on Monday morning, because she's a third shift kind of person. At least that's her sleep schedule. She usually wakes up around 5 o'clock at night, goes to bed at 5 o'clock in the morning, that kind of thing. So I spent all the rest of the day at the for urgent care, then the hospital, then spent most of the day at the hospital on Tuesday. So out of 3 days at work, I only spend half a day working. I don't think anyone would want me to be an exotic dancer. I wouldn't get paid much. Maybe in coins, you know, change. That's a payment. Put my clothes on. But anyhow, so when it comes to start with Battleforce, the Unity game that I'm going to be working on, I have to go back on the tutorial because of, I was watching the tutorial. I went one episode after the other. So I understand while I'm watching the videos, I understand what's going on, but I forgot what he did. So I have to go back and listen to the video a little bit, or possibly even download, because I think he had a project to download it because of, and I also have to work on positioning of the cards. Because obviously, the easiest way to do this would be a single player game. Start with a solo game, have it so that you play against the computer. There actually are solo rules, and it's one thing I want to work on, which is double check the solo rules and see if I could possibly design a smarter player, so that you actually can play two player, and it can be at the very least smart enough to play automatically. Now, as I think I mentioned this before, in fact, I'm pretty sure I mentioned it before, the big issue, obviously, with doing a Unity game for Starfleet Battle Force is, okay, if we sell the game as a game, pay license fee, you know, all that to ADB, and yeah, there will only be ADB at that point, because of, yeah, but anyway. Be under Franz Games and not under SWB Online. But anyway, the top part is going to be, it would be transitioning it from a solo game to a service, because the one thing that you want that to have increase, to have continued revenue for that IP, you want it to be basically going to be a game service. And to me, the transition to from a free to play game is you go from solo to multiplayer. Multiplayer, you play for the service, just like it's like Battle.net, that kind of concept. Though I'm not sure if you, please forgive me. I don't know if you actually pay for Battle.net, but I know that for games like StarCraft. What's that? WoW. I think it's WoW. I'm kind of a total brain fart on that. And that is, for that, you know, the question comes into being that, one of the things with the current SWB Online community is that you can chat with the community. And that's something I might have to look into when it comes to Unity, is that how do you go multiplayer? Do it more along the lines of DEFCON 5. I think it's DEFCON 5, where you don't really chat. The whole idea is that you have opponent matching. That's all. That's the whole idea. You log in and then you have opponent matching. Wow, I got rid of that. You just actually have DEFCON 5, the computer game. I'm not sure if they still sell it. I'll double check later. Which is it's definitely a cool game, DEFCON 5. But the whole idea, obviously, is that when you go with a service, then you can have recurring revenue. Now, the question is, when it comes to that, would you want to be just a game matching service? Or would you want to make it more like SCP Online, where you're building up a community, to chat back and forth? Or do you rely on services like Discord or Team something, and I forget what it is. It's been a while. But those services where you can have voice talking, because I think for Starfleet Battle Force, if I'm going to go with Unity, I have to check. That is and you'll see. Don't mind me. Oh, okay. So there actually is something called. Let's look at this for a moment, which is on the asset store in Unity.com. Which is something called DF Voice. Okay, let's see if. Okay, whatever. Okay. It doesn't show it, so I'll have to take a look see for it. Don't mind me, I'm just trying to look this up. Because what I would probably want is, if I was going to do this, okay, one time, text to speech. Okay. Was that what I want? Okay. Maybe you can't do it. Because one thing I would want, possibly, which is, see if we can have a way of integrating a Unity game with Discord. Because I know there's an API for Discord so that you could possibly integrate it with a Discord service, which I think would be awesome. Oh, TeamSpeak. Thank you, MG. That was one thing that I was thinking of, which I think would be great. Okay, just gonna thread. Okay, I'll look into it a little more later. But I think moving forward, I think that might be the way to go. Instead of possibly text, use voice only. Maybe I'm going a little too far with that because of the whole idea of. I think better, probably the best way go between the two is actually Discord. Have a Discord server set up so that you can integrate. I can integrate the game with a Discord server, and then so you can start games, and it will create a room on the Discord server and do it that way. I think that'd be great if that could happen, or I don't know. You know, but the key thing, obviously, as I said, it's going to be. Would be with multiple people is to have a pay-for service at that point. But to get that point, first you have to have a game. That's the one thing with this one tutorial series that I'm currently listening to called Card Games by Sloan Kelly. He actually seems to be doing a fairly good job. Now, the only thing that I did not like, now, this is understandable, and that is he, on the last video, they talked about the game, okay, and how to do certain things. In this case, it was to, when you have a deck of cards, have it so that when you pick a card off the stack, it actually gets deleted. It's shown visually. And the one thing he doesn't explain, because he used what I consider an advanced technique. And the advanced technique is basically setting up a delegate. And the whole idea of the delegate is just a notification, way of notifying that, oh yeah, there's something happened, so you have to update this. He doesn't explain how that whole thing works. All the way up to that point, it was a very basic tutorial. Anyone can understand what's going on until he hit that one issue, and then his experience showed. Now, that's good and bad. It's good that he knows how to solve it. The bad part is that unless you know some of the advanced programming techniques of Unity, it makes no sense whatsoever. At the moment, I have no clue of how to duplicate that delegate and how that delegate works in my own game. And I have one of those things I probably have to hope and pray that I type it in all correct and, you know, and see how that works. Now, my guess is that I could probably look at some other tutorials that actually start talking about Unity Engine, Game Engine, and Delegates. And they probably could do a much full explanation of that, and that's fine. But for the simple game that he was doing, you know, it would be nice if he at least explained a little more about how that works so that there's still being that baseline understanding. But anyhow, it seems like he does a good job, and I think I can probably follow along for most of it. As I said, the one thing that's going to be interesting to figure out is going to be placement, how to do the placement. In theory, I should be able to do some placement not too badly, poorly. Obviously, the cards are going to be, it's called a prefab. I imported the assets, and I grouped the assets to be to the different kinds of assets. Because they have one assets, which is a set of ship cards, including a ship card back. Got the order cards, which is just the order of the players. Action cards, got all of them shown. And I think there was a miscellaneous, which was the sequence of play, summary, and the Starfleet Battle Force cover. Now, currently, as I mentioned before, I took these from the Vassal module. Now, the one thing, there's a little difference between me and the person who created the Vassal module. The guy who created the Vassal module didn't have the rights to actually use the IP. I've got the right to use the IP. So I can, if I can get it going and show it to Steve Cole, I think he'll agree to let me use the IP and actually release the game. I don't think that be a big issue. Obviously, he wants me to focus on the SB Online library, but, there's only so much I can do when it comes to the library itself, because it's a lot of hard work. Two, Steve called, I need all the background images. Now, obviously, we need to communicate what background images we need. I know we've communicated to him about what background images we need and what they're behind. But he has not. That is one thing that keeps him falling by the wayside, so. What are we supposed to do? It should be interesting. Also, just give you guys a quick update. I already mentioned this in the news portion, but I'll mention it again here just for giggles. And that is, that's, I got stuck playing the Platinum Hat game of rounds two, which is actually quite interesting. It's right now, it's in between turns. I've got him cornered. And actually, the way that Paul Graves was talking about it, he thinks that basically the game's going to be over at the end of this turn. And I went, I'm looking at it going, no, it's not. It could be, but I don't think that I am. I don't think he's in the position to win at this point because of he only has three torpedoes max. And that's if he gets himself turned around. Turned around. And then he's got one possible 60-point or 30-point torpedo. And then he has one fast load F if he wants to use that. Now, obviously, the one thing that I'm going to be doing is I'm going to try to avoid all these torpedoes. And the question is going to be timing. That's got to be the key thing here. So we'll have to wait and see on that. And hopefully we'll get some more, an extra turn done in the next week. Okay. Well, actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to wrap it up now just because of I've gone through both topics and I don't have any additional topics to go on. I just don't want to ramble on just for the sake of length. So, had a nice little discussion about the new Shapeway ships that are coming this month. Some of the things that were shown by ADB. Thank you, ADB. And some quick discussion about Starfleet Battle Force games, the Unity engine. And some quick update on my Platinum Hat game. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.